Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Two, three, four.
Hey, nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M.
Well, welcome back to it. Paul Kent, James Triceps, Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Coming up this hour, we'll talk about the New Zealand Warriors, who were pumped by the Storm on Friday evening. And now, of course, the Roosters are going to need that Paiaso Faumasili back. So it goes from bad to worse for the Warriors, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We'll do Maroon's pub quiz too. Got a great prize for you today, boys. But before we do any of that, 133353, let's go to Wollongong. Maroon's poll for today is all about when players stay on the field and celebrate after they've lost. Does it make you angry to see your players smiling after a loss? Michael's in Wollongong. Michael, what did you want to say, mate?
A few years ago, the Dragons played Canberra in Canberra and got flogged. Mm. And Jamie Soward went straight up the field, straight up the tunnel. He'd had a bad game. He was dirty on himself. And the media ripped him to shreds as a bad sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just had said, oh, he's a sook, he's a whinger. He could have shook hands with everyone. He was just dirty on himself because he played so poorly. And he just didn't want to talk to anyone. He just wanted to think about what he did and what he can do next week better.
Oh, well, no. Look, Michael, part of being a sportsman is you shake hands with your opponents after the game. That's part of it. Look, I get your point, but that's the first rule of any contest is once it's over, you shake hands and move on. You see boxers get in the ring and flog each other, and as soon as the bell goes, they give each other a hug. Like,
but it wasn't an every week thing for Jamie Soward. It was a one-off thing. It was like, this is a bloke that's dirty on a bad game he's had. He's got his head down and he's thinking about what he's done. Not,
mate, he's played 300 games in his career, mate. Seriously, he knows the repercussions. He knows the responsibilities.
Yeah, but just when everyone says, oh, I'm sick of seeing everyone smiling and laughing and that, you've got to think there are players that do. I'm just saying that's just an example from years ago. And, like, I don't like seeing it. I know everyone laughing and joking on the field when they've lost by 30 or 40. I think it's a terrible look. But, yep. Just thought I'd point out a little bit.
I think it's valid. There is both sides to it. And unfortunately, the way the world operates is everything is extremes these days.
Good on you, Michael. Thanks for your call.
All right.
There he is. Have a great day, mate. Thanks for taking the time on 133353. We welcome into our Brisbane studio. He's finally set up. He's been out celebrating their one win in a row, the Gold Coast Titans. Gordy, tell us.
One is not a row, Murray.
Yes, I realise that, Gordon.
Pressed every button, but finally got it working, and now I see you. It just made my day even better.
Well, look, congratulations to the Titans. There are a couple of games coming up that they can win, and for Holbrook, I mean, in the Fair Dinkum department, we have seen little signs of improvement week after week.
Oh, I think their effort's been absolutely fantastic since it's come back from COVID, and you see improvement. Holbrook last night, the game plan was brilliant. They didn't engage the big Broncos forwards. They just moved them around. They hit them on the edges. You know, Milford and Brody Crawford have done so much work. I think he's doing a really good job at the moment. You know, it's a tough job where, you know, and we're still out there to get that big fish and whoever it is. Hopefully it's for feeder. But I think that they're moving forward. I can see the Titans moving forward, which is important.
They are moving forward, and I'll tell you what, there's people willing them to win a few more games too, because if they do, Anthony, we've got that audio where, what was it, 5 wins in a row?
Yes.
Now, what did I tell you about, when I was mentoring you over summer, what did I tell you about yourself, all right? Okay? Now, listen. I said if they win 5 games in a row when we return from COVID. They lost 4 and then they won 1.
No.
Where did you do maths at?
Don't put
you
went to that fancy and school. Caveats. Don't put asterisks,
mate,
and caveats.
So what? It's going forever, is it? Is it forever?
Like, if they win 5 games in a row, we've got the audio. Joy Arrow was on the phone with us.
Your quote was, when we have returned, and we have returned. So
my quote
that is an open-ended
right Okay. Well, they're not going to win five games in a row anyway. But the bet's over. The bet is over. No, I've got no outstanding bets that are legitimate.
One when you get nervous.
There's no,
what are you going to be like when they got three in a row? What are you going to be like that week?
Oh, please, they're not going to win three in a row.
You're ringing and going, I've had an incident at East Gardens. Hey. I can't make it.
Hey. He won't call in sick because if he don't play, he don't get paid. He's coming in, rain, hail, or shine.
Yeah, I know. My nan died today, but I still came into work. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Please don't be offended by that. I'm just kidding.
The king of cash.
All right. Now, let's talk about sport, which I know is something foreign to you guys, but the Kangaroos and the All Blacks exhibit. This is another thing that I think is a little bit stupid. The Kangaroos-All Blacks exhibition match touted for the end of next season. Is it a good call or a bad call? What do you think, boys? Do you like the idea of this hybrid game?
Yeah, I'm a bit unsure about it. It's been going around for a long time. This is a different version of a concept that's been around for a good 15 years or more. I don't think it'll go ahead. I know that this is the first time. What's interesting about this one is the first time both the NZRU, is what they call still, the New Zealand Rugby Union, and the Australian Rugby League have both given it serious thought and are considering it at board level. The New Zealand Rugby Union held a board meeting this week where they advanced it one stage further. My understanding is there's a bit of a blue at the moment over financing. The All Blacks have been offered significantly more than the ARL commission has been to play for the Kangaroos. They're arguing it should be a 50-50 deal. The All Blacks are arguing that they've got the global brand, they're going to bring all the bucks in, they should therefore get more. I don't think it'll go ahead. I think it'll break down, and I think there's been someone else who's been pitching a hybrid game for many, many years, and if this game looks like it's going to go ahead, then he'll begin legal action for copyright of his IP, which will just bog this down in courts anyway. So,
can you elaborate on that, Paul?
Well, look, it's been pitched for some time about a Wallabies versus Kangaroos game. I first wrote about it 15 years ago. Phil Franks is a former first grader in the back in the 70s, back in the day. He's been sort of, he's a property developer. He's been pushing this for some time. I spoke to him yesterday and he said that essentially this idea was his idea. And someone else has taken it over, and that he's not going to sit there and let his IP basically be pinched now that everybody's vulnerable and willing to talk about it because of the shortfall in cash because of the COVID-19 crisis. So he said, look, there's just no way I'm going to let this go ahead without me being involved. He's not going to be asked to be involved because promoters, the last thing a promoter wants to do is invite another promoter into the party. So, my conversation was he threatened legal action. He said if it goes this way, he said, mate, it's unfortunate that they're doing that. So, we'll have to end up in court. So,
but if you change the rule by like one rule that he had in his hybrid game to another, surely he's got no legs to stand on.
Gordon, that is something the courts will decide, though. See, yeah, that gotcha. That doesn't matter what your version or my version or Anthony's version or the old lady that beat him up in the shopping centre yesterday thinks about it. The fact is, if it goes to court, it's up to the courts to decide. Now, either way, whichever way it lands, it still means it has to go through the court process. Mm. So all he has to do, if this game gets signed off, New Zealand Rugby says, yes, let's do it. Australian Rugby League says, yes, do it. They put the date down, we're going to sell it, and then he launches legal action in court, it gets an injunction against it, game gets cancelled or postponed.
The All Blacks have too much to lose. I remember
so
in 2000.
So does the Kangaroos. Absolutely. Cool. Whoever loses have too much to lose. Can you imagine whoever loses this game has the stigma of losing.
No, there's this thing about the All Blacks, and it's the number one thing. It's, you know, their culture's everything. There's this. I remember myself challenging the Wallabies back in 2000 that we should play a game and give all the money to the hospitals. And it didn't happen back then, you know, when there was that thing on who's the better coach. They don't want to play us. And
I'll say this,
their rules,
Gordon.
And then their rules we will struggle with. Yeah. There, and then our athleticism, like that Queensland side, you know, with their back line, if that was the Wallabies, well, I think they would win a World Cup. It's simple as that.
Yeah, well.
They come and chase our talent. We don't chase theirs.
This is the, well, Wendell, Lottie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the point.
Well, rugby league for a long, long time has been chasing rugby union talent.
Ray Price,
Michael O'Connor.
Yeah, that was back in the 80s.
Well, what about Quade Cooper? People have been pitching up towards him. Look, it does happen, but the fact is, I can tell you from the experience, again, when I go back to the Phil Franks, who's been chasing this for some time, they actually got to the stage where they began getting some high schools playing against each other with hybrid rules, and they were trying to find rules that would be 50-50 to each code, because under this current proposition, they would have no line outs. It'd be 14 man a side. There'd be no contested scrums. There'd be no play the balls rugby league style. They'd be more just rolling sort of rucks forward. So they're trying to find rules that would benefit both players and not disadvantage one significantly. And even back then, when they began to tinker the rules, and they're having high schools, having rugby high schools playing rugby league high schools, whichever ways the rules were skewed, that team inevitably won. So then they would adjust them. And what became clear was, however the rules were framed, that's what side had the advantage. Now, can you imagine if this does get signed off, then we're going to get the lobbying from the New Zealand Rugby Union and the Rugby Union mob against the Rugby League mob about what rules are fair and what rules aren't fair. And then from that, you'll get this big debate. And I'll tell you now, whichever way, I don't care who are better footballers, whichever way the rules are skewed, that team will win. Because we've seen in the past, years ago, Leeds, and Matt from Collaroy is the best that can talk about this. But years ago, Leeds played each other. They were owned, Leeds Rugby Union and Leeds Rugby League were owned by the same person. So he made them play each other. And what ended up happening is one week when they played league, a full game of rugby league, the Leagues won, I think it was 92-6. Okay. And by that stage, it was embarrassing. They to try and make it somewhat even, they took players off the field. They actually adjusted their own rules because they felt sorry for the union. Like somewhat. The following week when they played under rugby union rules, I think it was 36-16 to the rugby guys. So the result went the other way. And we saw, I think, Wigan and Bath played each other similarly. And again, it was a one-sided score one way and one-sided score another. So it's interesting to see. And that'll be the big debate, whether if they can get the game signed off, is if they can actually then agree on rules.
133353, maybe you do have an opinion on this. Do you like the idea of the Kangaroos versus All Blacks exhibition hybrid match? But Hoops, forget all that stuff that the boys have been talking about. In a time where we say rugby league players have too busy a schedule, let's say one of the best players in your squad, if you're a South supporter like I am, say it's Damien Cook. Damien Cook plays in this nonsense, and let's say he hurts a pec or an ACL and he's out for a year, playing in this rubbish, that'd just about do me.
Yeah, that's always the danger, isn't it, with this whole hybrid debate, is if you had serious injuries to big-name players, superstars, and of course the game is going to involve superstars because you're talking about the Australian Kangaroos playing in it, that's the drama.
This is the other issue, right? So, okay, you finally get the game off and running.
Mm.
And Mal Meninga sits down to play his Australian team. Does he pick an Australian to pick his team? Does he pick an Australian team as if they're about to play England or about to play the Kiwis? Or does he pick an Australian team that might have, say, Angus Crichton in the team? Because Angus Crichton's got a background in rugby union.
Yes, yes.
Okay, played schoolboy rugby. So does he? So then, and if he goes that way because he thinks under the hybrid rules, it gives his team more advantage of winning. Is it then a genuine Australian team? And vice versa with the All Blacks. If they pick some guys who've got a rugby league background, like it's fascinating talking points.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it'll get up.
Mm.
And I think Buzz had some really good points in the paper today when he said, what's wrong with concentrating on our own game with Tonga and growing our own product?
Yeah, and that's a good,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's from the International Rugby League point of view. But Gordon, I'll tell you what this is about, Gordon. It's the fact that COVID-19's hit and both codes have taken significant hits.
Well, if it's a massive windfall and it's going to help, and it's going to help grassroots level, and we know that it's
it won't help grassroots.
Well, mate, or whatever. If it's a $20 million windfall to the game, you know, I'm all for it. But if not, I'd rather
pay per view around the world. Simple as that. And you'd have access to all the rugby union nations this time because they're watching the All Blacks.
Mm. And in 40 years, it might be bigger than Origin. But in 40 years, we might still all be living in the Tooth Fairy as well. Would you like to add anything, Hoops?
Your auntie could be your uncle as well.
That's exactly right,
mate. And your breasts would sag by then, Maroon.
Mate, if you could just keep it... This is a family show, right?
Yeah.
Right.
While we're on it, Anthony, we're just going to give a shout-out to Mick Diffin, who's undergone a double knee surgery in recent days this week. Mitch Diffin, good friend of the program, Riffin with Diffin, Mad South Sydney Rabbitohs tragic.
Yeah, great bloke.
So just a shout out to his old man Mick, who is a hard worker and has had to go in for double knee operation.
Mitchy Diffin's a good bloke too. I mean, it's still he started hanging around with you blokes. He's sort of...
He went off a bit then, didn't he?
He did. He started getting a little bit like you
blokes. Good luck, Mick. Mick, a double knee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, and he's a 40-year plumber, so he's been digging, so he's a hard worker too, isn't he?
He's definitely hard yakker, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Good on you, Mick. I noticed
he doesn't rub off on his son, though.
Yeah, the young Diffin. Yeah.
Hey? Nah, he's good. Yeah. Mitch is good. He's a hard worker.
Good luck, Mick. Mate, when you come out, we'll go have a schooner somewhere.
Yeah, good on you. Gordy will take you. Gordy will shout. Boys, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the Storm and the Warriors. Warriors, there's lots and lots of things. It's a big old bag of mixed lollies, the Warriors, and we will dip into it. We'll have a little fossick around next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Stimpy. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
At Triple M underscore NRL, we're getting people contacting us from all around Australia who are listening into our show today, from Cable Beach in WA, from Glenelg in South Australia, Geelong in Victoria, and right up into Darwin through Ayers Rock, wherever you are listening today. Great to know that you have got the Triple M NRL app. And if you want to have a little bit of a play around with my poll, you're more than welcome to do that. It's all about players who stand around on the field after their team lost and want to have a little gossip and shake hands and high-five each other and talk about the good old days. So the Maroons poll today, does it make you angry to see players smiling after a loss? Go to it, Triple M NRL Facebook page or at Triple M underscore NRL. Now, boys, just a few bits and pieces that are going on in rugby league. Peter Volandi's our leader on 100% footy, and he had this to say.
Look, if there is a 17th team, it'll be in Brisbane, no doubt about that. That's where the market is, that's where we're strong, and no good spending a lot of money in rusted-on AFL states, in my view. You want to go to the states where you have the nurseries and you have the population that loves the game. But before we do that, it's got to be a pretty strong business case. You just can't go there without making sure that both the Broncos aren't affected and the Titans aren't affected. So we don't want to cannibalise them at all. So there's a long way to go because it'll need to really stack up commercially. I like the fact that the players can get a bye, and you know, that helps their mental well-being. They could always look forward to having that weekend off during the year. So there's that benefit. But it has to stack up commercially, first and foremost.
Chairman Peter Volandi's talking on 100% footy on the Nine Network. Gordy, so Peter Volandi says it has to be in Brisbane, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of cashed-up consortiums, if you like. The Redcliffe Dolphins do very well, the East Tigers...
Yeah, look, absolutely. And we got this great stadium. I think it showed at Magic Round last year. I know 120,000 people going through the gate. So there is a thirst for rugby league up here. We got this amazing stadium, Suncorp, that gets 13 Broncos games a year. And unless Manly or some of those clubs bring one of their home games up here, there's not a lot of footy played up here. So no doubt a game every week in Brisbane would be fantastic for the Queensland fans.
The other thing, though, Hoops and Kenty, I'll throw this to you first, Hoops. Often in the last couple of weeks, we are having this discussion about how the top teams and the bottom teams, the divide is bigger than ever. Now, how can we help that by bringing in another team?
Well, I think Matt from Collaroy wrote about the haves and the have-nots in his column in the Daily Telegraph yesterday. And look, the issue is always going to be, the debate is always going to be around, have we got enough depth? Well, I think we do. I think that there would be enough depth. You look at the players who aren't playing at the moment, right, because there's no reserve grade and there's no under-20s and all the rest of it. I reckon there would be enough depth to cover it.
The other thing is this too. Can I just say, like, we talk about there's not enough depth for another team. If you have that attitude and stay at that attitude, it's impossible to expand. Mm. You can't go from 16 teams to 17 teams without some dilution of talent. That's just that's physics. That's the way it works. But what you have to do is, if you want to grow, that's what you have to do. So what the NRL needs to do, if they do bring in a team, they need to be able to help that team recruit talent. When the Gold Coast came in, the Gold Coast were given no favours, okay? And they have struggled. When Melbourne came into the competition, they were given favours. They were allowed, teams were allowed to insulate certain players that Melbourne couldn't go after, and Melbourne were allowed to go after other players and negotiate, and they were allowed to be released from their contracts if they wanted to do that. The NRL did that because they know they needed Melbourne to be strong. They didn't give the Gold Coast the same courtesy. I think there has to be some sort of concession there when you have an expansion team that every club's allowed to go and protect and put a ring around X amount of players, whatever that is, that the new franchise is not allowed to negotiate with, but the rest should be fair trade.
And I think the big gap in the competition now, Maroon, is the fact that there's some players through COVID that didn't train hard, that didn't touch every line, that didn't train as hard. Mate, you just look at the Roosters that struggled the opening couple of rounds. Those guys must have trained really hard. All those guys individually, Parramatta, I think we had Brad Arthur on, 5 weeks ago, said that he's so impressed with the way his players come back from COVID that some of them were even beating their times, before they left. So somewhere in the dark when no one's watching, that's where champions are made. And I think that's the difference. There's some guys that took the piss out of COVID. They didn't train.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Gordon, is the way some joints are just run from top to bottom. You see, the good clubs stay strong clubs because they just place they have a whole of pitcher approach to it. They look at the development. They plan ahead. They've got a player that's going to be there for 3 years, but they're already identified someone who's 17, 18 who potentially is going to replace that kid in 3 years, 4 years. And that's what the good clubs do. Whereas the other clubs are continually scrambling, trying to buy talent for next year. And that's where they get themselves into trouble.
Yep.
All right, boys. Now, the other topic, a couple of more topics we just want to discuss here. One was, of course, this big chat around David Fifita and a big push from the Gold Coast Titans to get him at the Titans. Now, you're involved with the Titans, Gordy. I heard Mal say on Fox League, I think it was last night or the day before, that they don't want to comment too much about where discussions are at the moment.
And I'm out of that loop, but we need a big fish. And I know that if you get a big fish, everybody, if you're out in the ocean and you're catching big fish, boats come around you. So if we get a big guy like Wally Laws signed for Brisbane, they attract other players. And it's just as simple as that.
I think the Gold Coast, Gordon, for having a crack.
I'll say this. It was one of the world's dumbest negotiation policies that the Gold Coast put out this week.
What was that?
We've got $5 million to spend on David Fifita, and if he wants more, we can find more.
But we don't want to say anymore.
Hello, we don't want $5 million anymore. Yeah. Like, seriously, come on. Like, what fancy saying that. I want 15 grand for my car, but, mate, I'll take 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, okay, mate, what's he going to give you? Like, seriously, what's David Fifita going to say when we can pay you $5 million, but if he wants more, we can find more?
He's a superstar, and good on him for having
Well, they've got to get in there, but the other thing is this.
Well, I think that other club's, Paul. I don't think it's just saying, hey, listen, whatever the big offer is out there, we can match it.
Yep.
And I think that's what they're trying to say. I'm not, and Brisbane have sort of come out, and if you read between the lines, they put their hands in the air and said, well, we can only offer him 700. So I think that they're resigned to losing him to one of the bigger clubs, well, as in the bigger paychecks.
And I tell you, and that, not that we want to keep heaping on the Broncos, but that then makes you wonder about the Broncos' whole recruitment strategy.
He's not with that guy.
But they want to go.
That's why he was the last one to sign.
But they want to go after every toy that they had in the cradle. And then suddenly the big one, Fifita, who's probably the one that most people tipped is going to be the guy you had to get, by signing up every other bloke, they've left themselves no money to get him. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
While we're on the Gold Coast Titans and that terrific win last night, I think we've actually just got bit of audio that Tom, the producer, has asked me to throw to. So we'll just have a little listen to this.
How do you see the season remaining for the Titans?
Oh, it's going to be a tough one. Obviously, where they were last year, the positive signs were when they played against the Raiders, they had a pretty good second half, Anthony. But they're gonna struggle to win games this year. But if they win half of their games, it'll be a positive. Thanks for bringing it up.
No worries at all. No, it'd be good if they win half of their games.
Yeah.
Boys, the Warriors...
Well, mate, I don't know. Well, they haven't played for like 6 weeks. So.
I tell you what, if they win five in a row, don't worry about breast implants. I'll get a sex change. Yeah. That audio has been doctored because, I did say that. I did say that, but I said when we return from COVID. And like, if you blokes think they're going to win five in a row, honestly.
Lee had Japan tell us.
Yeah, anyway, listen.
Did you think, here we go, Marin, did you think Brisbane were going to lose five in a row?
No, I didn't. I didn't, cool. Gordon. But this is not about there's whether or not I get a sex change, right?
Mm.
It's not about that, all right? Now, I've lost my train of thought.
We want you to become a man again, Marin. We want you to become a man again.
What's that, Paul?
You've got the haircut. We want you to become a man again. You need it.
See, I know when you blokes haven't done any homework because you turn it into a bullying session on me. See, that's, you haven't done any work. Did you even watch a game last night, Hoops?
David Fifita is one of the superstars of the code, right?
Yes.
He's not playing at the moment, Anthony, but the Gold Coast are doing the right thing by trying to target him. It's a smart play.
All right. Well, they've already signed young Tino Fumasalawi.
Yes, who's very good friends. Very good friends.
There's no way the Roosters, like, I'm reading that the Roosters have thrown their hat in the ring.
Yeah,
that's a joke.
You raise an interesting point.
That is embarrassing to the game. There is a salary cap in there.
I have heard the same thing. But did they go out and spend, like, when Kronk retired?
So what did Angus Crichton?
Or was that just a mischievous manager?
When Cooper Cronk retired, he was on $1 million. So they didn't really go into the market and spend all of that money.
They also lost Latrell Mitchell.
So Hargreaves.
Well, they lost the
Hargreaves and Taukeiaho.
You go back to last year's premiership team. They've lost Latrell Mitchell and Cooper Cronk out of that.
Yeah.
Paul, who's got the best roster in the comp?
The Roosters.
Yeah, but they've only got to let.
And you know when you get the best roster in the comp, right?
Yeah, but I tell you what.
You pay for it.
I tell you what, the Roosters.
They don't come cheap.
The Roosters would be paying. I'll tell you something, Gordon. This is going to break your heart. The Roosters would be paying less for Josh and Brett Morris than you'd be paying for your winger and centre up there.
Don?
Significantly less.
What, on the books?
Oh, hang on. What are you saying, Gordon?
I don't need this from you, Gordon.
What are you saying, Gordon?
You're smarter
than you
this.
Can't say. No, Don, mate, so you reckon that Morris is on less than Anthony Don?
I would say yes.
Wow.
But, Paul, the point that you make, as I understand, which people find hard to comprehend, and the last thing I'm going to do is support or back the Roosters, but if they got David Fifita, they might move two high-paying players on.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. That's what there is to it.
I'd be surprised. Everything that you hear about David Fifita, he's a real Queensland kid. So he lives in Brisbane. Yeah. I'd be very surprised if he left Queensland. So I think if he is going to go somewhere else aside from the Broncos, he'll go to the Gold Coast.
Boys, moving right along, yesterday we had Nathan Brown on, former NRL coach, and he's in my stable. He does a couple of events when the events are on. But he was in here yesterday, and he spoke about you know, with the events, and he comes and does a few clubs, which we will do when the clubs open again. But Nathan Brown was talking about this player loan system. We've had this player... Payoso Faumasili, he's been at the Warriors. Now the Roosters need him back because of the injuries. So I think some of us are under the impression that the player loan thing is to help the Warriors out through this time. But I thought Brownie explains it pretty good yesterday.
The loan system is not about one person or one club getting the better end of the stick. It's like a business decision where both people get a big win out of it. So if you look at it at the moment, one of the Warriors' best players is young Pawasa at the moment.
Yep.
So he goes and plays. If he's at the Roosters, if he is playing, he's playing small minutes. That's if he's making their team at the moment. So Trent Robinson knows that he goes to the Warriors and plays his 40 or 50 minutes a week. It's great for the Warriors because he's a better player than what the Warriors have access to at the moment. But he comes back to me a far better player because the only way Pawasa can get better now is by playing first grade and playing good time, where at the Roosters – pretty much every year a genuine premiership threat. So the coach can't afford to play him too long in first grade because one loss is the difference between running first and second or second and third. So, but some other clubs have publicly come out and said they should be helping the Warriors, but when the Warriors go to them for players, the response is, why would we help the Warriors? Yeah. They don't say that, but that's what it's like, you know. And I know the Warriors have approached about some players who were just sitting there not playing.
Yeah, okay. Paul, what do you think of the loan system?
I like it. Mm. It benefits both sides. I think that's the point Brownie was making. Everybody obviously looks at the fact that the Warriors have borrowed players, but as you pointed out, if you're because we've got no State Cup, we've got nothing happening at the moment in rugby league other than NRL, every team's got 30-man squads, plus they've also got their lower-grade feeder teams. Now, if you're a 30-man squad, you can only play 17 on any week. There's 13 players there that, therefore, that don't get a start. If you can lend one of those players out to another club and they can get a few games of football under their belt, good luck to you. I think that's what it's there for. And if the Roosters now say, oh, look, we want to call him back, we've had a couple of injuries, that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
Harry Grant's the really interesting one at the West Tigers because he's got a get-out clause in his contract that if Cameron Smith plays on, then he's free to negotiate with other clubs. So the West Tigers have got everything crossed that that Cameron Smith plays on. Because if he does, they think they're a strong chance of being able to keep him. But
it's a tough one, isn't it? Because Cameron's still playing okay.
Oh, he's
so
playing
he
outstanding.
Might play on.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean?
100%.
But that's the art of roster management, Gordon. That in many ways, Craig Bellamy's been very good at it, but he's never had to make a call on a player. Like Billy Slater retired. The only time you could probably ever say it really happened was with Inglis when they got busted cheating the salary cap, couldn't afford to keep all four, and he had to make a choice that he was going to keep three out of the four, and Inglis had to go. But some clubs, you look at Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett's been very good at that over the years, at being able to say to blokes, mate, it might be time to move on and get them out of the club. And he's been able to do that. Des Hasler's been very good at doing it as well. There's a few coaches around the NRL who can do that and move players on. That's what it's about sometimes. And they have a big decision to make, the Storm, because they've got a player here who's a potential representative player who can leave the club if the champion of their club decides to play one more season.
All right, boys, we'll take a break. We'll come back. There's still a couple of things we want to talk about the course of the afternoon, and that is that Tigers game tonight, Tigers Doggies, Manly Cronulla this afternoon. The Warriors, where do the Warriors go from here? Because it seems to be going bad to worse at the moment, and we say that for a reason, but we'll get to that, because up next it is the world-famous, world-renowned, award-winning Maroons Pub Quiz as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Stimby. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. Right across the Triple M network through Cairns down to the beautiful Riverina and all stops in between. We welcome you in and via the Triple M NRL app. We do it thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton. For over 40 years, the Triton has helped Australians get the hard jobs done. Engineered to deliver power, performance, five-star safety, towing, and the latest technology. They're a tough truck. Hoops. I put that left the handbrake on one and fair dinkum went up the whole of the Bulleye Pass doing a burnout. And then I returned it to the Mitsubishi dealer without telling them. And mate, they didn't even know.
Couldn't even tell.
Well, might have needed new tires, but apart from that.
Tough trucks, Tritons.
Oh, don't worry about that. So let's talk about the other game, the Rabbitohs and Penrith, which was, of course, back there on Thursday night. A good win for the Panthers, I thought, in the end. They never really looked like they were going to lose the game. Can I selfishly start off here, boys, with the Bunnies? How far can these go? Can they go this year, or do they need to bring back Charlie Frith, Gary Hambly, and Bobby Grant?
Look, they need more than those.
Yeah,
I think they'll nip around the bottom of the eight, but I don't think they're any real danger of winning the premiership. So it's very difficult when you lose players of the class and caliber of Sam Burgess, Greg Inglis, John Sutton, all in a very similar period of time. It's impossible to replace them. So I just feel as though the Bunnies are just a little bit away from the best sides.
They've still got a great spine, I think. Latrell is really good in good ball area. You know, he's not great coming off his own try line, so his yardage is still down. But if Latrell kicks in that part of his game, I think he can change him a little bit. And their forwards are hard working, but they're not beating any sides up like they used to, are they? So I got to agree with you, Hoops. I think that if they make the eight, it's a great year for South.
Latrell was pretty disappointing the other night. It's amazing how these preemptive complaints people make about, oh, you're picking on Latrell and all the rest of it. Latrell's been brought in at big dollars, and the fact is his performance the other night, particularly in some of his effort areas. Now, we can all forgive a guy who's trying things and just not getting it done, passes aren't sticking or whatever. But that, I think it was the try down the right side. Latrell started out right at the end. Who scored that last try for Penrith? The right centre.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, look.
Oh, was it Crichton?
Yes, I think it was Crichton. Anyway, Latrell just didn't even get in the contest. As a fullback, look, James Tedesco would have been right underneath him. He did a pirouette. Latrell was jogging into position. James Tedesco would have shut that down. The good fullback, Jake Trbojevic, would have shut it down. That was not a try. And that's the problem. We all sat down when he played well. We all praised him, and everybody said, "Oh, great!" And when there was concerns earlier in the year about how his fitness, everyone said, "Oh, lay off him." Well, we saw the evidence of it the other night, and that's the truth. And if you want to sit there and complain, he's been picked on. Well, the fact is, when you sign up for the big contracts, you invite this focus.
Well, it was one of the biggest stories of the off-season. He switched clubs. And, I mean, Anthony, you're South Sydney to the bone. What do you think of his signing and how he's gone so far for the club as a supporter?
I tell you what, I'm frustrated by it because I know what talent he has, but we just need him to just play footy. I mean, even when he had a great game the week before last, and then we had to go over the whole thing that he was, crying in the dressing room. God love him. I don't know what he was crying about, but we just need to see this bloke play football and leave everything else wherever he needs to leave it.
Yeah.
And against the Titans, all of his touches were so sublime. Like, it was unbelievable. I think it was, three try assists and line break assists and that, and then he come up with five errors the other night. So he's got to learn to play on the back foot, and all those little silky little death touches, they don't work every week. I love watching Latrell, like in that game against the West Tigers, comes back in mind where he was brutal, where he was physically imposing on the opposition. I think that's what South need him to play as, and that's what he can bring. So it's not as if I'm asking him to do something that Latrell can't do. He's a big body. He can bruise you in the fence. He's got a strong carry. He's probably got nearly one of the strongest carries in the game. He's got a great fend, and I think that's what he's got to bring.
All right. Well, and congratulations to Panthers too, who are up there in second spot on 11 points. They are going from strength to strength this year. The both teams from Sydney's West doing so well.
Cleary get that boil lanced on his forehead? Mate, is that why he missed so many kicks the other night? Could he see the goalpost? Yes,
I think it was that little bandage he had on his nose.
Oh, wow. Cellulitis, yeah.
Yeah.
He said the teammates were calling him Avatar and all sorts of stuff.
Cellulitis, who does he play for?
That's not bad.
No, he was a Greek bloke that played for the Bulldogs in the 70s. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to do Maroon's pub quiz.
Sunday Stimpy. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Paul Kent, James Triceps, Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. And just before we go to our quiz, we might have a little bit of news on what's doing around the judiciary, in and around the judiciary. Do you, Hoops? Or
yeah, the judiciary charges have just landed, Anthony, and Joe Offa-Hengawa is looking at a couple of weeks for that shoulder charge. If he fights it and he's found guilty, then he'll miss three games. Or if he takes the early guilty plea, I think he'll only miss two.
Right.
So a couple other players charged out of that game too. Corey Oates with contrary conduct, but he can escape with a fine. And then Jordan Rapana from another game for the Raiders is charged with a careless high tackle, but he can also escape with a fine.
Okay, thank you.
So Joe Offa-Hengawa is the big one.
Let's do this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
So we've got a great prize today, boys. I thought there'd be something that I could reward you with immediately today. I'm going to give you the winner $3 to spend on the Triple M chip machine. You won't be able to get jerky or trail mix, but you'll be able to get a packet of chips, a cold drink or a Mars bar. Okay? Now, but I didn't bring the $3. So I'll give it to you next week. You. All right. Yeah. Here we go.
Just go grab it off someone's desk like you normally do.
That's crossing the line there.
What happened to that book? You had a book as a prize a couple of weeks ago.
I had the Big O.
Yeah.
The Olsen Filipina book.
Yeah. What happened to that?
Well, I've given it.
I've won it twice now.
Paul's won it twice and read it twice.
Read it twice.
Your name is your buzzer.
I've read it four times.
Wore it back, read it back to front.
Now, your name is your buzzer. And, of course, after 3 o'clock we go into happy hour when Paul leaves. But right now, name is your buzzer. What's the correct name of Sydney Harbour? Name is your buzzer. What is the correct name of Sydney Harbour?
Gordy.
Yes, Gordy.
Sydney Harbour.
And that's incorrect. He's on minus one. The answer is Port Jackson. Right. You never heard of the Port Jackson Shark?
Yes.
All right. Question number two.
I've heard of the Balmain bug.
What ship sank? What ship sank on her maiden voyage in 1912?
Titanic. Gordy.
Yes, that's right, Paul. But you don't get a point because you didn't say your name.
And I said my name.
And what do you? Yes, Gordy.
It's the Titanic.
It's back to zero all. Next question,
please.
What band? This is music knowledge. This is Triple M, so I've got to have a music question. What band from Pasadena featured lead singers Sammy Hagar and David? Four. Yes. Five, four, three, two, Van Halen is right.
Bobby got there.
And I didn't get to say Sammy Hagar, who was, of course, the Red Rocket, and the other man, David Lee Roth. 1-0, Paul leads.
There's only one Redfern Rocket.
Here we go. Question number, the next one. What decade was the first CD released?
Paul.
Yes.
80s.
70s.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, so you're back to zero. Okay. Now, here we go.
What a crap question.
Who? Why? Because you got it wrong?
Yeah.
Mate, I can just take another point off you, mate. Well, I'm in charge here.
Right.
Who won an Oscar for her performance in Black Swan?
Paul.
Yes. Paul.
Natalie Portman.
That's right. So it's back to zero all again. We're running out of questions.
Hold on.
No, because you lost one.
After getting one.
Is he? All right, we're running out of questions anyway, so you could get this off. You know what? I could knock this on the head right now and just give you all a dollar each. Do you want to do that?
Huh? Get a couple of chomps.
I think we've got chomps down there. Well, you get those chomps at Hot Dollar in East Gardens for a dollar. I might bring some to you next week. Okay.
Is that where that incident?
No, it didn't. Okay. on your buzzers. Oh, I told this mob I'm not coming back next year, so just get ready for it. Okay. Ralph Macchio came to fame in what 80s movie?
Gordy. Karate Kid.
Yeah. One all. What? You're just making up the numbers here.
Good film, Oops. Karate Kid.
Righto. Okay. Okay. What Michael Jackson album was being made from April to November 1982?
Paul.
Oops. Yes, Paul.
Thriller.
Two. You only need one more to win the $3 here, Paul. Who is older, Prince Charles or Stevie Nicks?
Hoops. Prince Charles.
And that is incorrect. Stevie Nicks. Have you heard the Stevie Nicks story?
I have heard your Stevie Nicks story.
All right, we'll leave it right there.
You should tell it on radio, though.
Chinatown, Sydney. Centres around what street?
Paul.
Dixon. And he's done it again. He's $3 richer. Well done, Paul. Don't spend it all at once.
If it's yours, I will.
And have a good mate. We'll see you on NRL 360.
Yes, you will, mate. Yes. Thank you.
Hey, Anthony, can you just bag him now before he leaves?
No, I'd rather wait he's in the lift.
Wait until I'm in the lift.
Wait until he's in the lift.
I hit him in the lift on the way down. It begins.
We'll come
get
back.
Get in the car if it's still going.
And we will do the happy hour without Paul Kent at Triple M.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.